Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening. We invite you to look with us in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Verses 1 through 13, Romans chapter 12. Father, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful gift of eternal life. Thank you for the chance to know you, to serve you, the privilege of being a part of the body of Christ, the army of God called to go out into the world to share the truth, to share the gospel with a world that desperately needs to hear it. Stir us and help us to better understand what it means to live the life as a living sacrifice. Believers who listen to your word and your spirit and follow you each and every day. Help us to live that out more and more with every passing day. Anoint us afresh with an anointing of wisdom and grace, and help us to be hearers and doers of your word today. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Let me continue to remind you that we encourage you to email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. Email us so that we can send to you some of the prayer tools that we do provide. Again, everyone can use help and encouragement in their prayer life. Encouragement to help us to become the prayer warriors God calls all of us to be. Remember that, as one minister put it, when we work, but when we pray, God works. And when we're wise enough to make prayer one of the high priorities of our Christian walk, we'll be much, much more productive servants and vessels in the hands of God. And I'm of the opinion that some of the greatest rewards in heaven will be to intercessors, people that have learned how to pray and give themselves to God in prayer. So my challenge and encouragement to every listener, seek to grow in your ability and spiritual skill as an intercessor and prayer warrior. Again, that email is jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to send you the prayer tools that we do provide. Let me remind you, please take time to go to our website, afr.net. Again, that's afr.net. And also you can download the AFR app daily and use it. And certainly you can both listen to broadcasts and also go back and listen to podcasts that you might have missed or some that you just want to hear over and over again that will bless and encourage you. Also, please take time to go to our One News Now, use One News Now, and also download the mobile app for One News Now. Always stay up to date with the latest in the culture war from news, the news team of One News Now. From a Christian perspective, I can't overemphasize how important that is, because we live in a world full of lies where there's so much deception, to where when you listen to the wrong sources, you not only are uninformed, you're deceived. So it's important to hear news from a Christian point of view. So again, please go to One News Now, and also you can download the One News Now mobile app. And remember, it's free. And so now it's available to download from your phone's app store. Hope you'll take the opportunity to do that. And finally, let me remind you once again, please take time to Google moraloutcry.com, moraloutcry.com. We would encourage you to go and sign the petition, which basically is a challenge to Roe v. Wade. It's an opportunity for you to put your signature down and be involved with believers who want to just to challenge and come against the reality of what Roe v. Wade stands for. It is, remember, we serve a big God, and he's more than able to help change some of the dark things that have happened in our nation in the past. So moraloutcry.com, we hope that you'll Google that and take the time to sign the petition. And also, if you would, put it on your Facebook page or other ways that you have of being able to share it to encourage others to sign the petition. Again, one day, abortion will be illegal in our nation again. Let's continue to pray towards that end and do what we can to help bring that about. We are blessed and honored to have as our phone guest today, Pastor Robbie Dawkins. He's the author of the book, Do What Jesus Did. And actually, he's the author of I don't know how many other books. He's a busy man, but we're grateful to have him with us as he shares about the book entitled Do What Jesus Did. Robbie, how are you today?
Doing great. Honored to be on here, Pastor Joseph. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you for being with us. And I'm going to ask if you'll take a moment to further share our listeners. Tell them a little bit more about who Robbie Dawkins is before we really get into the book.
Yeah, thank you. I was born on the mission field. My parents were missionaries to Japan. And shortly after that, they returned back to the United States to work at as a Bible prof at a Bible college in Dallas, Texas, and be a part of an international ministry there. And grew up in church my entire life. Didn't see a lot of, talked a lot about the supernatural, about signs and wonders and miracles, but we didn't really see a lot. We saw some periodically. My mother had a pretty strong prophetic gift. She'd get words of knowledge, and God would speak to her things and show her things about people's lives, but didn't really see a whole lot. And that always started me kind of on a quest of what, you know, why aren't we seeing more of the miraculous? Why aren't we seeing more of the supernatural in the church? Certainly it wasn't, you know, something that Jesus planned for us to get off track of or anything like that. He wanted us to operate in that and gave us his power and through the authority of his name. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, as I began to youth pastor for 12 years, and then became planted a vineyard church in the Chicago area, really bad part. It was actually at the time that we went there, it was one of the top 10 most dangerous cities in the nation, mm-hmm. In the Aurora, Illinois area. And just one of the reasons why we went there is we had just decided that, you know, where there's a higher level of desperation, that there's more miraculous activity that happens, where people are more desperate. I was looking and researching, going, why are there more miracles in China and India and Africa in Latin America than there is here in the United States or in Western Europe? And the conclusion I came out of was that wherever people are more desperate, there's just a greater sense of breakthrough that happens. And so, yeah, so when we planted our church, we planted in one of the worst parts. Everybody was discouraging us from doing it. But that actually was an encouragement to us because we figured that, you know, if I've always been one of those type of people that if people didn't want to go someplace or if they were saying it's too dangerous or too difficult, I was like, that must be right where like God's heart is, you know, because nobody's willing to go or wanting to go or, you know, that there's just some level of that that's there, but just realizing kind of like how Paul said, you know, where the gospel's not being preached, you know, that's where I want to go. That's where I want to be a part of ministry at. So, yeah, so we went there, we planted a church and just started. We had a lot of time in prayer, intercession, and just asking God for the strategy, mm-hmm. you know, for our city and for the area. And I remember the Lord really speaking to me and saying, I'm going to show you a strategy that's not just for this area, but it'll work anywhere in the world. And basically it was going out and just praying for people, ministering to people in the community, just we would just walk down the street, stop people, and just say, look, we didn't have literature with us. We didn't have handouts. We just said, listen, we're looking for people to pray for. And how can we pray for you? Do you have a financial need? Do you have a physical need where you need healing in your body? Do you need any relational intervention for God to work? Do you need a job? You know, we will literally pray for anything. How can we pray for you? And then as soon as they would tell us, we'd say, well, let's do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And as we begin to do that, we begin to see so much breakthrough happening in people. We were seeing people get healed. My children would do this. We trained them in doing it. The members of our church who were willing to go out, they were, and it was all levels of faith. Some people were in our church that were homeless, and they would come out with us. Other people that had brand new believers, some very mature believers for many years. And we were seeing just the most incredible things happen as we went. And as we did that, we began to see crime drop. We began to see, and so it was sort of like a prayer walking. So in between interacting with people, mm-hmm. you know, we'd be interceding. Right. But then we would approach people, and we would kind of take it to that, you know, to that next level, and you know, approach people and say, how can we make this, you know, apply to you? Mm-hmm. And people, it was shocking, you know, Pastor Joseph, how receptive people were, you know, especially when we weren't trying to preach to them, but we were saying, listen, we want to pray for you. Mm-hmm. And then when they would get healed, we were seeing tons of healings.
Mm-hmm.
When they would get healed, when we'd have a word of knowledge that would impact them, then they were so receptive to receive the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was sort of taking what the Lord began to show us was, I want you to take the strategy that was in Acts and apply it here.
Robbie, I want to jump in
real quick.
I want to share something. I want to ask a question here. Now, I want to read real briefly. This is Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and it says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Now, you're talking about, again, you refer to Acts, as well as simply doing what Jesus clearly called the church to do. And so, mm-hmm. And you're sharing a very powerful but a simple evangelism method. I want to ask if you'll take a moment now to pray for listeners to really have ears to hear, because God wants to speak mightily to believers that are listening today about them coming to better understand how he wants to use any and all of us to do the work he's called us to. Would you pray for our listeners?
Yes, absolutely. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you that you gave us a simple but powerful, earth-shaking gospel, and that what you came to do, Jesus, in living here on earth, wasn't showing us what you could do as the Son of God. You were showing us what we could do. You were showing us what the second Adam looked like, what the restored Adam looked like, what living out and what you created human beings to look like here on the earth, but the enemy stole from us in the garden. You came to reinstate that, and I pray, Lord, that we would hear that and hear the simplicity of that, and we would also approach others with that same simplicity, not trying to be complex, not trying to be heady, not trying to be super intellectual, but the simplicity of the gospel, of that God so loved the world. Let us grasp that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Our phone guest today is Robbie Dawkins. He's the author of the book, Do What Jesus Did. We'll be right back.
Sometimes it seemed to stoop so close.
music of Rich Mullins, the song Sometimes by Step. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest today is Robbie Dawkins. He's the author of Do What Jesus Did. Robbie, in this segment as we pick up, I'm going to ask if, let me just share this. Now, you started out as a youth pastor, and you were, to a great extent, kind of turned off and discouraged by ministries or outreaches that emphasize the Holy Spirit due to some of the hype, the manipulation, and maybe abuses that you'd seen. What happened to kind of turn you around from being discouraged and disillusioned?
Yeah, it was one day in our church, our pastor had invited a guest in from Christ for the Nations in Dallas, Texas, to come over, and she was a student there that was seeing some, you know, powerful workings of the Holy Spirit. And so she came and she was ministering, and the whole time I was just agitated. She was from Finland. She spoke with a little bit of a thicker Finnish accent. And having grown up on a mission field, I was very, tender towards people that didn't have the English language that well. But with her, I was just agitated. And I couldn't figure out what was wrong. What's wrong with me? Why am I so aggravated by this? And I kept trying to get my wife to let's go. And she goes, you're the youth pastor here. You can't leave. That we're in. And I'm like, okay. You know, and I was just irritated by that, but she was right. And so the lady got up and started praying for people. And she was telling this testimony about how that she had gone to this meeting of John Wimber, and that she basically, you know, she kept talking about how that she became drunk, and I couldn't figure out. I was like, you know, okay, are you talking about you went out and got drunk? You know, I later realized she was talking about being drunk in the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for me, again, I had grown up in a Pentecostal background, but I had sort of turned a lot against that because, as you stated, you know, seeing some abuses and then also just seeing some things where people sort of shifted away from it or people got weird or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was like, I just want to stay away from all that. But I definitely believed in the power of the Holy Spirit, but I just wanted it to be a certain way. So anyway, she started praying for people, and people started just falling to the ground. And I always saw that as just manipulation, as hype, as I've been involved in some meetings where people were trying to push me to the ground, and I couldn't stand that. It aggravated me. And I played football, and so I would always throw back my right leg. I was a guard, you know, to be like, you're not going to push me down, you know, especially this little lady from Finland, you know. Mm-hmm. But my wife went up first, and my wife and I had both been in those settings, and no one could ever get either one of us to the ground, you know. Mm-hmm. And we were proud, very proud of that. And all of a sudden, she prays for my wife, and my wife just goes back. And I was like, oh, my goodness. For me, that was like the Red Sea parting all over again. I was like, what is that? And when my wife got up off the floor, I'm standing back at a safe distance. I'm like, I'm not, you know, this is crazy. I can't believe that she actually got my wife down. And my wife came back and she looked at me and she goes, I was like, what technique was she using? Was she shoving you? Was she getting you off balance? Was she pushing your head? And my wife was like, there's no technique. She goes, this is God. And she goes, and you need it. And, oh, man, I did not like that. I'm like, I am a pastor in this church. How dare you say I need it? She goes, you need it bad. And I was so offended by that. And so I, just to prove her wrong, I was like, well, I'm going to go up there, and I'm going to let this little lady try to push me down. But I'm going to expose the fallacy of this when she's not able to get me down. It's going to tear the veil of deception of what she's trying to bring over this church. And so I stepped up there, and she just walked up to me, and I threw my leg back. I was ready to go. I was braced in my stance. And then she just looks at me, and she just waves her hand in front of my face, and she goes, in her, you know, sort of broken English, she says, "Fodder, you do it." And she just waves her hand in front of my eyes, didn't lay a finger on me. And my eyes are open, and I'm kind of chuckling like, "Fodder, you do it," as I'm going backwards. And I can't stop myself. Like, I mean, there's no way I can stop myself. I'm rocking back on this leg that was supposed to be my brace as I'm going to the ground, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, what just happened? You know, how did this happen? She didn't even touch me. Mm-hmm. And I'm laying on the ground, and I was frozen there. My hands were out in, like, claw positions because I was trying to brace myself as I was going down, and it was like I froze like that. Mm-hmm. And the Lord just began to show me in that moment a vision of Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones. Mm-hmm. And began to speak to me, and it was like I was living that out. And he was saying, prophesy to the bones. And I was like, what do you prophesy to bones? It was almost like the scripture had left me. I knew that scripture well, but it was like it wasn't even in my cognitive thinking. And he said, call them to come together, call the bones to come together, call flesh to come on, and call them to come to life. And all of a sudden, I saw this vast valley floor filled with bodies, and they're all standing up. And I thought, wow, this is every pastor and church leader's dream, you know, to have all these people. But the Lord pointed out, he says, yes, filled with people, but there's no life in them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh. And he said, now prophesy for the wind to come. And of course, a wind is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Prophesy for the wind to come and fill them with life. And I did that, and I called and prophesied for the wind to come and fill them, and then they began to move, and they became full of life. Mm-hmm. And the Lord spoke to me and said, that's what I want you to do. Mm-hmm. But never forget, you were the driest pile of bones here. Never forget that you were one of these, you know? And so when I woke up, when I came out of it, it was 3.5 hours later. And I couldn't speak. I went to talk, and it was just this gibberish that came out and didn't make any sense. It wasn't like speaking in tongues or speaking in... I had already been doing that since I was 9 years old. Mm-hmm. It was I couldn't form words. Mm-hmm. And my wife is looking at me going, you know, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I said, I can't explain it. I couldn't say it. I couldn't. And so... as we were walking home, she's like, come on, let's just go home. And as we're walking home, all of a sudden, you know, like the sidewalk is starting to move. And I'm looking and I'm trying to say to her, what's wrong with the sidewalk? But nothing I was saying was making sense. And what I realized is all of a sudden I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm getting drunk. Well, I'd never been drunk in my life. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what that feeling was like or anything. But like what she was talking about being drunk in the spirit, that was happening to me, and what, of course, it mentions in Acts chapter 2. And so I was, by the time we got home, I was just out of it. But she just shoved me in bed, and I fell asleep with my clothes on, like, all night long. When I got up the next day, I could speak, and I was, like, thanking God, like, oh, thank you, Lord, because I was so nervous that I thought, oh, he's taking away my ability to speak, and it's because I was making fun of the Finnish lady. I realized after that, that, you know, what I was dealing with myself was a religious spirit. Mm-hmm. And that the Lord was revealing to me that I had this religious spirit that was opposed. That's why I was so opposed to her. I thought it was just wisdom. I thought it was, you know, but the fact that, and there could even be some people here, Pastor Joseph, that are listening to this, that are even offended by what they're hearing. Mm-hmm. And I would just encourage everybody just to stop and ask, Holy Spirit, is there anything in me that's blocking this, that's blocking your spirit? Mm-hmm. And if it is, would you come and deal with it right now? Come and deal with it in me right now. And he will. Holy mm-hmm. Spirit will come and deal with that right now. But we went to the grocery store, and she says, we need to go to the grocery store. We go to the grocery store, and I see this woman walking in with a walker. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I had this immense heart of compassion towards this woman. And I just walked over to her and I said, are you in pain? And she goes, you have no idea the kind of pain I'm in. She goes, I'm in the worst pain. I said, could I please pray for you? She goes, it won't do any good. Mm-hmm. But if you want to waste a prayer, go ahead and pray. And I said, well, I'd like to pray for you. And I started praying for her, and she starts like moaning. And I was like, is this a demon? Is this God, like, what's happening here? And I look down at her and I said, are you okay? And she lifts her head and her eyes were crossed. And she just fell forward and her face just landed in my chest. Mm-hmm. And I grabbed her shoulders, and what had happened to me the night before was happening to her, but she was falling forward. Mm-hmm. And I laid her down in the grocery store, like face down in front of the vegetables. Mm-hmm. And what I came to realize was I had encountered to become an encounter. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Lord wants to do with all of us. He wants us to encounter to be an encounter. He filled me up to pour me out. And that we are being filled, not just for our own spiritual development, for our own maturation process and growth, but he's filling us to pour us out in the community so that other people, we encounter to become an encounter. And after that, it was incredible because so many people that I would pray for would have this experience. They may not fall out, then maybe we go, I'm starting to get weak in my knees, or I'm feeling a weightiness on me. Mm-hmm. And I would be like, that's the kabod of God. That's the, you know, the glory, the manifest presence of God that's on you. Mm-hmm. And I began to realize that, you know, what had been given, when Jesus said, freely you've received, now freely give, mm-hmm. that I needed to give that away. Well, you know, that woman in the grocery store, I mean, people that have an experience like that, they're then open to the gospel. And here's the reason why, because they haven't just heard about it, they've experienced it. Mm-hmm. They've had an experience to know that God's real. Mm-hmm. And so like when we pray for them and they get touched in their bodies or we give a word of knowledge and it speaks to them, I stop and I look at them and I said, now that's Jesus introducing himself to you, and that's him saying, I want a relationship with you. Mm-hmm. How do you want to respond to Jesus? He just invited you to a relationship by you having that experience, that encounter. How do you want to respond to him? But I needed that encounter so that I could become the encounter. Now, some people in trainings that I do, they like, I've never had an encounter like that. But they still, just being in proximity to the presence and the spirit, sometimes we don't realize something is on us. We don't mm-hmm. realize something is there until we begin to minister to other people. And then all of a sudden it becomes evident that it's there. Mm-hmm. And so with those people, I always say they're like conduit. They're like a pipe. They may not feel something themselves, but they're a carrier for others. Mm-hmm. And so it's not based on what you feel or what you experience, but just even sort of being in that place of, you know, Holy Spirit, come and fill me up. And trusting and believing that God does hear and he does respond to that request. And it may not be, we stop and think, well, he didn't do it because I didn't feel it. But that's a mistake. Just because I don't feel anything doesn't mean that it's not there. Doesn't mean that it's not present.
Well, Robbie, so now at present, you are an itinerant minister now, did you say?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you travel and do you do seminars that share about the work and the ministry the Lord has called you to?
Yeah, we do. What we do is we do weekend trainings for mm-hmm. churches, for ministry schools, for, you know, different places. I've ministered in 70 different countries around the world. Mm-hmm. And we go in and we do trainings for people to learn how to do what Jesus did, to step into these things that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. We do training on how to do healing. And when I say do healing, how to pray for and see the results of healing, mm-hmm. how to give words of knowledge, how to prophesy. You know, there was, of course, in the scripture, you know, in the Old Testament, there was a school of the prophets. And so those are gifts we can learn in and learn about and grow in. Mm-hmm. And so doing training on things like that, again, we do them on deliverance, how to break demonic power in people's lives and expel demonic power in people's lives. And we do it primarily, again, for the end result of to bring people into a relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. One of the important things that we see is that the power of the Spirit is really there to draw people into relationship with Jesus when we've encountered that. And so I also do that. We're starting a training school in the Middle East. We're starting one in Iraq and also in Armenia. To train leaders. I was just in Turkey where we trained. We brought over 500 Iranians. Iran is the fastest growing church in the world right now. Mm-hmm. And we brought over 500 Iranians and we're training them on doing healing and taking them out on the streets and showing them how it works on prophesying and equipping them, you know, to go back into Iran and to share the gospel. We have a big emphasis on training and equipping
Robbie,
the underground
church.
Robbie, I'm going to need to jump
in here, and we're coming up on a break, and we'll pick up on the other side, okay? Our phone guest today is Robbie Dawkins. He's the author of the book, Do What Jesus Did. We'll be right back. Music of Jennifer McHale, the song Great God. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Robbie Dawkins. He's the author of Do What Jesus Did. Robbie, would you tell our listeners, if some of our listeners would like to get the book, how could they get it?
Yes, it's on BarnesandNoble.com, it's on Amazon.com, it's on our website, RobbieDawkins.com, Robbie with a Y. There's several different places. It's the electronic format, but the hard copies, you know, it's sold pretty much anywhere where Christian books are sold.
Okay.
Also physically in the Barnes & Noble stores, so any of those places are good.
Okay. All righty. And so you mentioned you travel quite a bit in the Middle East as well. There's one of the stories in your book is a powerful story about when you were working with a gang in Aurora. Would you share with our listeners that story?
Yes. We were, you know, the whole city was really sort of paralyzed in many ways by the largest gang there was the Latin Kings. And part of what we began to do is pray and ask the Lord just for a strategy of, you know, what to do. Like I said, we were going out already praying for people, but one of the things that we began to also do is that I felt the Lord had spoken to me about studying the Gadites, the tribe of Gad. And in the blessing that Israel gives Gad, he says, you know, your enemy will grab you by the heel, but you will turn and grab him by the throat. And I was like, Lord, what does that mean? Like, what is that? And he began to start speaking to me about sort of understanding the revenge of God. And I always heard that from a different perspective, but I was like, revenge of God? Like, you know, that sounds harsh. That sounds, you know, not necessarily loving or approach like that. But then I began to realize that the kingdom of God is upside down from mm-hmm. our thinking, and that this is a kingdom where love is a weapon of mass destruction. Mm-hmm. Peace, joy, hope, those are weapons of mass destruction. Satan hates those because it fills people with a sense of God's spirit and a sense that God is with them. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord began to speak to me, and he began to basically show me that every time there was a violent crime, I sat down with the gang members in our church that we had led to Christ, and I said, you know, how did you retaliate when a rival gang came on your territory? And they said, well, whatever you did to us, we did three times that to you. If you killed one of our gang members, we'd kill three of yours. If you stole $10,000 of our dollars in drug money, we'd steal $30,000 of yours. Whatever you did to us, we did three times that. And I heard the Lord just say, that's what I want you to do. So every time there was a violent crime, we would go to the very block that it happened, and we would bring three people to Christ. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, every time there was anything that was, whether it was a rape or it was a murder or whatever it was, we would go to that block. We would, of course, pray for lots of people, see lots of people healed, but we wouldn't stop until we brought at least three people to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
What began to happen is that all of a sudden crime began to drop in our city. And even our chief of police, Greg Thomas, recognized, he said, I don't know what's going on, but we're noticing that you guys are in the area after these violent crimes, and we're normally crime escalates, but we're seeing it drop. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I told him what we were doing, and he's like, to him, that didn't make any sense. He was kind of a nominal Catholic guy and didn't really grasp sort of the idea of it. And I said, you know, Greg, this is very powerful. You just don't realize how powerful it actually is, mm-hmm. the impact it makes. But crime began to drop so much that the gang, the Latin Kings, they began to, from their language, lose respect, which means you don't fear me. They see fear as respect.
Mm-hmm.
And so because they were losing respect, they decided that they were going to start a war in 2012 that would be the most violent war in all of history. And they were going to kill more people during that time to regain their respect.
In other words,
that
was a gang war.
Right?
You said a gang war in the city of Aurora. Is that right?
They were starting a gang war, a war with rival gangs and with the police department. And they were just saying, we're going to kill more people this year than ever before.
Hmm.
And so what we did is we were already doing these things, but I had asked the top gang leaders to come in and sit down and meet with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sat down, we met with them, and in the meeting, they come in and they're like pointing out all the bullet holes in our church building because our church was in a bad part of town. And they're saying, yeah, we shot somebody here. They're trying to intimidate us.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at them and I said, why do you think we brought you here? And they said, well, you brought us here because you want to stop a war that's about to start. And I said, that's not why I brought you here. I said, I brought you here to introduce you to Jesus. And they're grabbing their crucifixes and they're like, we know who Jesus is. And I said, not the way you're about to meet him. I said, because you're about to meet him in power. You're about to experience Jesus, not just hear about him.
Mm-hmm.
And so we began to pray for these guys. All three of the guys, there were three men, one woman, all of them physically got healed. Mm-hmm. We had prophetic words for them. And the main guy, his street name was Shotgun. His real name is Sam. He kept jumping up and looking under his chair because he thought there were wires running to the chair, because as we were praying for him, he was feeling electricity surging through his body.
Mm-hmm.
And I leaned into him and said, Sam, that's not electricity. That's not wires. I said, that's not natural electricity. Those aren't wires. I said, that's Jesus introducing mm-hmm. himself to you and saying, how do you do? I want a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
And the incredible part of it is that all of them were healed. They all got clear prophetic words, and they all gave their lives to Christ that day. And it completely transformed our city.
Mm-hmm.
After that, crime dropped so dramatically that the police department laid off a third of the police staff.
Hmm.
And this is all, you can Google this and see the story from sort of a secular media perspective. But all of these stuff, all these things started changing. Crime started dropping. Things started changing. And these guys became a part of our church. They became very active in the church. And they gave their lives to Christ. And at the end of 2012, which that year, again, was supposed to be the bloodiest year in all of Aurora's history, we went a full calendar year without one homicide. That had not happened in 66 years. And Aurora is almost 250,000 people. So, I mean, it's the second largest city in the state of Illinois. So, I mean, it was a massive event and one of the most dangerous cities, had been one of the most dangerous cities in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And our chief of police on the BBC, he was being interviewed by the BBC, a chief of police from France and Italy flew over to study the police intelligence to see how they did it. And on the BBC, our chief of police says, he goes, you cannot just study our police intelligence. He goes, you've got to study that little church on the corner of Root and Galena. He said, I can't explain what they're doing, but it's changing our city.
Mm,
and so we have the secular police department acknowledge you know, that what was happening was transforming and changing the city. Mm. And so that went out over, you know, all the news networks. It was on, you know, Fox, CNN, on NBC, and it was on in almost every major newspaper around the country. Mm-hmm. Because it was a, you know, unprecedented sort of story for them.
Okay.
But it was incredible, just incredible. And it was just, and it wasn't, we weren't a massive church either, Joseph. Mm-hmm. We were just, you know, my church was never more than 200 people.
Well, Rob,
but we didn't stop.
I just want to ask a quick question. Our time is kind of running, but I wanted to ask you this. In view of what you're sharing, believers that are listening and probably thinking to themselves, how can I begin to be used of the Lord in a similar way to impact my family, my community, my world where I am? That's, I guess, where your book is a kind of a manual to help them move in that direction, correct?
We call it a field guide.
Okay.
Sort of a military term, but like, yes, it is a manual.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the book can help them better understand just how God worked in your life, but also how he can begin to work in their lives as well in the same way, correct?
Yes. Okay. And if they'll just stop, if everybody would just stop and just with neighbors, with, you know, when moms are having play dates at the park with other moms, just stop and just say, hey, you know, I've been really exploring prayer and how prayer works. Is there anything I can pray for you? And then can I pray for you for that right now? And just and pray for them in that moment. If they're praying for healing, mm-hmm. one of the things you don't want to do, don't ask the Lord to come and heal somebody. Mm-hmm. That's like asking your boss to come and do your job for you. Jesus said to us, heal the sick. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to use his power and authority to do it. So rather, we need to study the model that how the apostles and how Jesus prayed, and they just said, be healed. I command sickness to go. Mm-hmm. I command bones to be mended. I command pain to leave. I command, you know, and you're speaking of the body comes from the earth, and God gave us dominion over the earth. And so when we're speaking to the body, we're not commanding that person to do anything. We're speaking to the earth. We're taking back dominion God gave to us over it, and we're commanding it to come under the will and the lordship of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so command the physical body. Curse cancer. Command it to leave. I've seen tumors disappear right in front of my eyes. I've seen tumors fall off. Mm-hmm. I've seen horrific moles on people. Where I'm just like, I just curse you, command you to fall off, and they wake up the next morning, the mole's laying on their bed. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got to pray with the authority that Christ has given. All of us have more power and authority than we realize, mm-hmm. and we have more power and authority than we're currently using. Mm-hmm. And it's not God withholding from us. It's us needing to activate what he's given us. It's like you get a new debit card or credit card. First thing it says is you have to activate this card before it can be used. Mm-hmm. And activating the power and the authority that Christ has given us is by putting it to use. And here's the thing. The problem with most of us, Pastor Joseph, is that we pray for the majority of people that we as believers pray for are other believers. Mm-hmm. You got to realize people that are unbelievers get healed faster. And it's not because God likes them more. It's because there's less demonic opposition against them. Satan is fighting harder against us as believers because we're his enemy. Mm-hmm. And so when we pray for unbelievers, you're going to see more healing happen. Mm-hmm. You're going to see it happen faster, more effectively. But never forget when that happens to look at them and say, now that was Jesus inviting you to relationship. How do you want to respond to his invitation?
Share with our listeners again, if they want to get the book, how can they get it?
Yeah, again, my website, robbydawkins.com, RobbyDawkins.com, or Amazon, it's on Amazon, it's on Barnes & Noble's website. Anywhere where Christian books are sold, you can order it or get it from. But yeah, the whole point of the book, the premise of the book is Jesus didn't come to show us what he could do as the Son of God. He came to show us what we could do. Mm-hmm. He came to live a life to show us what we could do, because the power he was operating in, according to Philippians 2, was not his power as God, but was the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit we have. So mm-hmm. we're not lacking anything. We just need to activate what he's already given us mm-hmm. and to see it happen, and to see it work.
Well, Robbie, if a person's listening and they're thinking to themselves, well, Robbie, that sounds exciting and wonderful, but I'm a lay person. I'm not a preacher or anything like that. And I don't know if God could use me in that way. How would you respond to that?
My last trip in Iran, my last trip to Afghanistan, I've been to Afghanistan 3 times, training underground church leaders there, been out on the streets where you could be killed for this. It's a law to be a believer there. Mm-hmm. Pakistan, same thing. I'll take Muslims and say, put your hand right here, repeat after me, and they'll see somebody get healed by the power and authority of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds controversial, but what I tell them then is, now, the only way that you can operate in that after this is by having a relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I want that. So if God will use a Muslim to do that, to invite him into a relationship, how much more would he a believer?
Mm-hmm.
Again, mm-hmm. we're not lacking in power and authority. We're lacking in activation. We need to activate what Christ has given us. And he wants to use all of us. Mm-hmm. It's not a matter, has he called us to it? It's a matter, are we activating what he's given us?
Amen. Well, Robbie, our time is gone. Thank you so much. Again, sounds like a very powerful book. And again, I've read part of it, didn't finish it, but I'm going to finish it. I intend to finish it. So thank you so much for coming. I want to encourage every listener.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for being with us. And we look forward to getting you back again in the not too distant future, okay?
Be an honor.
Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Again, the book is Do What Jesus Did by Robbie Dawkins. I want to encourage every listener, get a copy and let it be a blessing to your life and your ministry. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.